As football coaches, we're always searching for that next big idea. When you create a free USA Football account, you are opening the door to thousands of game strategies and coach development content that can spark your next game-winning play. Create your free account today at usafootball.com.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We continue our discussion with state champions, and joining me today on the podcast is John Perry, who is the head football coach of Pearl High School near Jackson, Mississippi. Coach, it's great to have you here on the podcast.
Man, it's great to be on. I've enjoyed following it and you know, have learned some great stuff by listening to it. It's been great.
Coach, just a little bit on your background. You guys were in the state championship in 2016, finished as the runner-up. 2017, you guys won it. You're in your 10th year now at Pearl High School, and you've also had some college experience as well. Fill in the missing parts for me here, a little bit about your background.
Well, you know, I mean, I started playing football when I was 5 years old, which is, you know, absolutely amazing, and have played it my whole life. You know, went to Hines Community College, junior college. We got a great junior college system in the state of Mississippi. Played for one of the best junior college coaches ever, Gene Murphy. Went from there to Harding University, where, you know, is a private Christian school in Searcy, Arkansas. I grew up, my dad was a preacher growing up, and he always kind of wanted me to go over there. So I went over there, played for a great coach in Larry Richmond. And then my high school coach, Bruce Merchant, who's, you know, a Hall of Fame coach in the state of Mississippi, he gave me my first job, which is probably, you know, a blessing that, you know, I was able to come into a large school right off the bat, coach the offensive line. He left after 4 years, and Pearl hired a guy named Marcus Boyles, who many consider the best coach in the state of Mississippi. And I was fortunate enough to hang on with him. He left after 2 years and went to Wayne County, a team in South Mississippi, to be the offensive coordinator for a guy that he had grew up playing under, Bobby Hall, who is one of the top two or three winningest coaches in the state of Mississippi. He's won over 300 games in the Hall of Fame. And I went down there with him to Wayne County when he left. And that was probably the best thing that happened to me, was being around two of the greatest coaches in Mississippi. And then Coach Hall, after 1 year, took the junior college job at Northeast Mississippi Community College. And I went with him as the O-line strength, got my feet wet calling the plays. He retired, had his 25 years in, and he went actually to doing some college ball at Murray State. And I took the head coaching job at Kosciuszko High School, which was my first time being the head coach. Spent 5 years there, played for a North half our last year there, got beat by a really good football team. Then I got the phone call to come home, which Pearl being my home, where I grew up, where I graduated from, had coached here as an assistant. You know, I got the call to come back home, and they had been struggling a couple years and coming off of 2-8 season. And, you know, I was more than happy to, you know, come home and get started here. And like you said, this is year number 10 at this place. And, you know, we've had some very successful seasons. We've been, you know, really good, but the last 2 years, you know, have been the best 2 years in the history of the program. Up until last year, Pearl had played for one state championship in the history of the school. And, you know, with this group of kids that we've had and this coaching staff, we've played for it the last 2 years and, you know, was able to win it this year. So we have been blessed for sure.
Well, Coach, as you know, bring up the journey back to Pearl High School for you. Certainly it's a process. You know, we talk about the process all the time. We'll get into your process that's brought you guys to, you know, the level you're at right now, that playing for a state championship, then winning a state championship. But as you talk through your background, it's certainly a process for a coach. What were some of the things that you've picked up along the way, some of those important lessons? I mean, if you can mention like two or three of those things that you learned that you've taken forward with you in your career and really have become meaningful to you and getting your team to where you're at.
You know, from the guys that I coached with or played for or they've had relationships with, you know, a couple of things that made an impression on me, you know, was serving others, you know, I mean, getting into the profession to help young men be the very best that they can be, you know, trying to create a person that will be a, you know, a good husband, a good father, a good employee, you know, whatever they go into, honestly caring about the young kids and getting involved in their life. And the other one was simply, you know, when I got involved with Marcus Bowles and Bobby Hall and some of those guys, you know, in my coaching career, it was expecting to win, you know, expecting to be the very best you can be. Like those guys expected to win every single game that they ever went into, you know, and it's amazing how strong the brain is. I mean, if you honestly believe that and you convince those, that team of young guys that, you know, we're going to win every game that we play, or, you know, we're going to learn from it and come back and win the next one, you know, you'll be amazed at how good you can be. You know, I mean, we had teams, you know, that I coached on that were not as talented and didn't go quite as far than teams that were great. You know, I mean, if you believe in and expect yourself to be great, you know, I've seen amazing things happen. And those two guys, man, they expected to win every game. You know, and that was not necessarily the case everywhere that, you know, I've been.
Absolutely. And obviously it starts with that belief, right? Creating that belief in the players. But obviously there's going to be a lot more that goes into the process. If you don't start with the belief, you're going to have a lot of problems.
If you don't really believe, you know, the process doesn't matter. You know, I mean, you've got to honestly believe that you're going to put the best team in the state of Mississippi out there. And then obviously you got to have a process and a plan to do that. But I think getting kids to believe in themselves, believe in, you know, the mission and everybody fighting for the same purpose is huge and what separates the teams at the end of the day. Because you got a lot of talented teams, but the ones that pull together with a common cause and fight together, those teams end up, you know, being more successful.
Coach, how do you get them to take that belief that they can get it done and get them to believe in the work? I mean, we obviously live in a very on-demand, instant gratification type of world today. So how do you take today's teenager and get them to, number one, believe that, hey, we're gonna do everything we can to win everyone, but then to get them to believe in, here's all the work you got to do?
You know, I think you got to show them the way. You know, I mean, like our kids know, you know, what our goals are. They know what the vision of the program is. We sat down 4 or 5 years ago, and we, because of things like this that we learned and we kind of started studying harder on, you know, we set a vision. We came up with a mission statement for our program, you know, the core values that everybody's doing now, you know, and we sat down with our team, and they know what the goals are, and we have a list of 7 objectives, and they know exactly what they are, you know, and we sell them on the fact that if we do these 7 things, we're going to be successful. I mean, they know what 7 things it is. They know what we have to do to win. And at the end of the day, we're all going to get on board and do it together. Now, getting everybody on board is a chore. You know, that's everything that you do in the off season. That's everything that you do in the summer. You know, getting kids to buy in, you know, number one, you got to love them. And number two, you've got to preach it every single day. You know, I mean, in the off season, we're going to compete with games. You know, we're going to let the kids, we have a room where they can go up, you know, after school and play games. And we want our kids to feel like this is their family, you know. And in 2018, you know, the sad fact of the matter is we are daddy to a whole bunch of them, you know, and we don't take that lightly. You know, we want to try to get those guys to grow up and be respectable, great folks, you know. But at the end of the day, we're going to sell our team objectives. They know exactly what we got to do to win, and we're going to work the ever-living stew out of them every single day so that they know what we can do if we all work together.
Coach, you mentioned that there's 7 things that they have to do, 7 things they need to know and do. What are those 7 things for you?
Right. And we get into the kind of some of the analytics of football, but this is on boards all over our field house, downstairs, upstairs. You know, they're going to see these things everywhere. You know, number one is win the turnover margin. You know, it's been proven if you win the turnover margin in college football, you're going to win 80% of the games. So then they know right now we have to win that on Friday night to win the football game. If we do, we have an 80% chance of winning. The one that's bigger than that now is big play margin. you know, and we classify big plays by 20 yards or more, you know, but in college analytics, it shows that if you win the big play margin, you're going to win 81% of the games. So we have started coming up with practice plans where we practice for, you know, big plays. We put ourselves in positions where, you know we need to try to have explosive plays. We talk about it on defense, limiting explosive plays. But our kids know that if we win a turnover margin and we win the big play margin, that's an 81 and an 80% chance of winning the game. If you win both of them, you know, it runs it up around 90%.
Right.
You know, we talk about number three, no foolish penalties, pre and post snap. You know, we'll talk about the difference between, you know, what is a penalty that is accepted, an interference or a holding or, you know, something like that. That happens in football. But what we're not going to do is lose yardage before the snap and after the snap, because that obviously hurts your football team.
Mm-hmm.
Win special teams is number four. You know, we're going to do everything in our power to be the best special teams on the field that night. Number five for us is know your A&A, know your assignment and alignment. You know, just know what you're supposed to do. If you don't know what you're supposed to do and you don't line up correctly, then you obviously don't have a chance. Number six, we talk about the red zone. We've got some percentages for that. We want to score 90% of the time. 70% of those scores we want to be TDs. We want to hold the opposing team to a field goal or less 50% of the time. You know, I mean, our kids know, you know, that we're going to give up some points from time to time, but if we can hold them to a field goal, that's a win. Our kids will be excited because they know that's playing great red zone defense. And then one we added last year that I got from Kevin Kelly at Pulaski Academy was the first down of a series. If we get 4 yards, we have a 77% chance of scoring on that series. If we are minus four, you know, or if we're less than four, we have a 23% chance of scoring. That's huge, you know, and that changed our practice. We spent a lot more time on first down than we did third down. Defensively, it changed the way we approached the game from we wanted to go attack on first down and try to get them in a negative play on first down because of just the stats. I mean, that came from the college, you know, analytics of the game. And if you think about it yourself or any offensively minded person, if it's second down and three, you're feeling great as an offensive play caller. If it's second down and 10 or 12, man, you are not feeling very good, you know. And I thought that was a big stat, but we call those our team objectives, and our kids know what they are. They know, you know, how important they are to winning the ball game, and we talk about it every single day. When we come back from a Friday night ball game, the first thing I do on Monday, team meeting, is I walk in with a sheet, and it's got all of those numbers out there. You know, we just say, you know, this is it. We were plus two on turnover. You know, we reward them for things that happen in a good way. But you know, they just know what they are. And I think if, you know, when you lose, like this year, we lost 29 seniors. We've already told them. I mean, there's not one of those objectives that talks about how good a football player you have to be. What you got to do is hang on to the ball, make big plays, don't shoot yourself in the foot with stupid penalties, win special teams. If you do those things, you're going to have a chance to be successful. And, you know, we sell our kids on that, and it's worked well for us.
And Kevin Kelly, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk with him several times. He is the master of finding some of those stats. And you think about that one, you know, a lot of people call that P10, you know, possession and 10. First play of a series, 77% chance, dropping to a 23% chance of how critical that situation is. And you know, obviously, you know, I've been in those before. I think for me, Coach, I was always telling my guys, we're going to take the ball. That's what we're going to do, because 90% of the guys out there defer. And it gave us knowledge going into a game that, hey, we're probably going to start on offense, and here's how we're starting the game. And we had, you know, highly orchestrated drives. We really spent a lot of time, especially on that first drive of the game, because I always felt like you get that first score, you're setting the tone for the game. And I think, you know, I look at one stretch at one of the schools I was at, it was like 16 out of 20 times we scored on that very first possession. But to break it down even further, thinking about the, you know, every first drive, just getting 4 yards and focusing on those things really puts a lot of attention on the importance of every play to your players. Because if you can get out in front of the yardage battle, if you can get out in front of staying on schedule, and those third downs are much shorter than if you lose yardage on first down, you got a great chance. I think it's such a pertinent stat there. And, you know, I remember hearing that. I think Coach Kelly shared that with me right around our national conference. And, it's a different way of thinking at it. And the thing I'd like to point out, Coach, and talk about next is that you're putting those stats up, and a lot of people do that. You know, they see the stats that are important to the game. The best coaches out there with the most successful teams figure out a way that goes directly into everything you do on the field. It goes directly into your game plan. So how are you taking those things as a coaching staff? Let's start with you guys first. And creating a game plan that's going to check those boxes for you, that's going to accomplish those objectives.
You know what? It starts, obviously, you know, when we come up with the game plans and practice schedules, but there will be some form of ball security and some form of strip drill every single day at practice. You know, that's something that's going to be, it may be a 5-minute period, but it's going to be a 5-minute period every single day, you know, that stresses the importance of, and then obviously that goes throughout the day, you know, teaching them how to carry a football, teaching them how to go get the football, rewarding our guys for creating a turnover. That's something that we build into practice. You know, we will sit down and we script every play at practice. We will script plays in certain positions on the field that we feel like have big play potential, you know, and we'll have a list of those plays on the script that, you know, these are things that have a chance. Sometimes you're going to get big plays just because you bust power for 25 yards.
I mean,
sometimes they're going to happen, you know, as you well know, but we are going to plan to have big plays. And then, you know, defensively, we're going to plan to not have them. You know, we're going to try to put ourselves in a position to not give up a 20-yard play, you know, and we practice that plan. Mm-hmm. You know, penalties is a matter of punishing them, you know, with something when it happens. You know, if it happens in practice, we're going to take care of it right there. It may not be, you know, we may not go run a mile, but we're going to do 5 up downs, or we're going to do something to let them know that that was a foolish penalty, and to relate that with their brain. Special teams, it is what it is. You know, we focus on that all the time. You know, we're going to have a plan for every special team. You know, we've got our same goals for special teams that we have, you know, our objectives that we want to do every Friday night. And we spend probably more time than the average school on special teams. And as a result, you know, we're really good at it. Knowing your assignment and alignment, you know, we start practice off every day. You know, we'll take 10 minutes and we'll go team on air. And it will strictly be something to do with assignment and alignment. Defensively, going through everything that the opposing team may throw at us, knowing where you're supposed to be. If you're where you're supposed to be, you have a legitimate shot, you know, of stopping the opponent. Red zone, just like you probably do and, you know, everybody else in America, we're going to script it in practice. I mean, we're going to go down and we're going to put the ball on the 20-yard line. And we're going to take 4 plays from, you know, one from the left hash, one from the left upright, one from the right upright, one from the right hash, you know, and we're going to work from there, you know, scoring touchdowns. I mean, we need to score on this play, or, you know, we've got 2 plays or what have you. You know, we're going to actually script that into practice, and we're going to talk to the kids about it. Man, this is what's going on. This is where we're at in the ballgame. We'll have the chains over there on the sideline. I mean, trying to make it as realistic to Friday night and them knowing what is, you know, on the line, you know, putting the ball on the 2-yard line. And let's just go get after it, you know, and see what happens with each team, each, you know, unit knowing what they need to do to be successful. And the last one was the 4-yard deal. We have just spent a lot more time on our script. We normally run 3 sets of 8, you know, and we script those 8 from hash, you know, to hash, to middle, to, you know, what have you. But we spent more time on first down after, you know, learning some of these stats. And I saw a thing last year where the teams that were the largest gainers of yards and points in college football were also the teams that were in the fewest third downs. You know, and if you think about it, you know, they're being really successful on first and second, and not getting in as many third downs as other teams do. If you're constantly having to convert third and four, third and three, you know, although that can be done, you know, that's tough because kids are going to make mistakes. You know, that things are going to, you know, go bad. You know, I mean, you need big plays first and second down so that you're not in third down every single time you have the ball. So, you know, we've spent a lot more time, you know, in practice scripting. You know, the first eight plays may be first down. We're competing and we're trying to get 4 yards. If we don't get 4 yards, then we're not, you know, we're not completing our objective, and we'll go back, we'll film it, we'll go back and watch it. Why didn't we get 4 yards? Was it a good play? Was it not a good play? Is it something we don't need to run, do need to run, you know, and just trying to look at it and being more specific to first down.
So, Coach, with, you know, your players and thinking about, I guess, going to camp, right, getting into the camp session, installing your stuff first time, what do you feel are some of the best things you guys are doing to teach them the game? Obviously, emphasizing these points that you made, these 7 points, but really then getting into the details of your job. How do you guys go about that? What's your install look like from a classroom standpoint?
You know, in football, you know, I guess it's changed so much over the past 10 years, you know, with summers being able to do so much in the off season. I mean, we had quarterback school this morning at 7 o'clock, you know, with every quarterback in the school district. And, you know, we're talking about all types of things. You know, I think, you know, installing a game plan and installing a system starts from the ground up. You know, we're going to start with the quarterbacks and we're going to start, you know, by position, and we're going to teach them, you know, what their job is, you know, whether it's in a classroom setting with technology today, with huddle, with all the things going on. You know, I told the quarterbacks this morning, although you may be a seventh grader and you may not have a real clue as to what, you know, is fixing to happen, but you do have the access to huddle. You can go pull up our high school films, and I showed them how to go all out, you know, go all first down, go all run, go all pass. I said, you can be getting a head start right now. There's no excuse for not knowing, you know. And then by the time we get to the practice field, you know, I mean, it's all about their stance, their start, being fundamentally sound. You know, from an offensive lineman, we're going to break it down to the components of playing the offensive line. We're going to make sure our stance is great. And we're going to start that every single year. You know, your first step, your second step. If your first step and second step are not right, chances are you're not going to complete the block. You know, it doesn't matter what happens after that. If, you know, if your first step don't give you a chance to win and your second step's not correct and hand placed at the right place. And, you know, we're going to rep our stuff every single day. And we're in a little different situation. You know, we're a school that is never going to sell out to be football only. Our off season sometimes can be a challenge because every quarterback we have is going to be a baseball player. Mm-hmm. You know, every wide receiver we have is going to be on the track every single day. You know, we're one of the premier track schools in the southeastern United States, and we're going to run track. So sometimes in the off season, you know, it's tough installing game plan when they're not here. You know, so we really take spring ball. When spring ball starts, when the state track meet is over, that's our install, you know. And when we install, man, we're throwing it in there. You know, we're coaching it on the run. We're throwing it all at them as fast as we can, you know, putting as much in as we can, overloading them, and then coming back on practice film and breaking it down. You know, we'll spend a lot of time post-practice and pre-practice. You know, we're going to watch the film and we're going to coach them up on what we're, you know, pre-snap, what we're thinking, how are we going to execute it, what's our footwork got to be. And then we'll go out there the next day, obviously with a practice schedule that helps us be successful. But, you know, our plan is to throw it in there as fast as we can and overload them and do as much as we can. And a lot of it sticks, you know. And now with summers like they are, I mean, golly, we're practicing every day, you know. So I know there are folks out there that in the springtime, they're probably getting ahead of us because their kids don't go to track or they run track after school, stuff like that. But golly, with football like it is today, by the time spring ball starts, you know, we're still 15 weeks, 16 weeks from the season. We have plenty of time to coach our guys up. You know, we're going to make sure that they know what they're doing, and we're going to implement a practice schedule that works on the basics of the position of the play that gives us a chance to be successful, you know, when we go team.
Coach, I think that multi-sport athlete approach is pretty sound. Obviously, those guys are out there learning how to compete. What's the offseason look like for the rest of your team for those guys who aren't involved? And about what percent is that for you?
You know what? We probably have, you know, we will have 80 guys on the football team come fall. That's on an average what we're going to have, 10 through 12. You know, we're going to have the majority of our big guys we're going to have in here every single day. You know, some of them will go throw the shot, and they'll go on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so we'll have them 3 days a week. You know, we're big into powerlifting. You know, powerlifting is something that gives us, you know, a chance to compete in a sport that we're doing every single day anyway. We probably have 60% of our team, you know, here every single day. But like I said, every quarterback's going to be at baseball. Every wide receiver, you know, is going to be at track. Every defensive back's going to be at track. And, you know, we're not going to use that as an excuse. There have been, you know, people come through here before, you know, that have said it'd be impossible to win a state championship because you don't get your kids in the off season a whole lot. And that may be true for some places, but, you know, what we decided to do about 5 or 6 years ago, because I was guilty of that early on, you know, was trying to come up with excuses why we couldn't do it. But what we decided was, when I got into reading some books and trying to, you know, better myself as a leader, was that we're not going to throw blame on things that aren't good. What we're going to do is we're going to accentuate the positives. We have a lot of positives in Pearl, Mississippi. You know, number one, we're aligned from the mayor of the city to the superintendent, to the school board, to the principals, teachers, kids. We are totally aligned. And if you've listened to, you know, Brian Kite and some of the Focus 3 stuff, as I'm sure you have, he talks about that all the time. You know, if an organization is not aligned, it's going to be hard to be successful. Well, our kids may go run track in the off season, but our program is aligned from the top down. Everybody knows, you know, what they're doing. Everybody's fighting for a common cause. Everybody's working together to see that happen. You know, and in the off season, the 60% that we have, man, we work the absolute stew out of them. You know, we are in the weight room. We are getting after them. We'll save 20 minutes at the end of practice every day in the off season, and we'll go outside and compete. We will do some type of drill where there's a winner and there's a loser, and, you know, we're going to make them compete. We're going to make them fight. We're going to make the weight room as tough as we can. You know, we will, from time to time, we'll go 10 sets of squat as heavy as we can go. You know, I don't know that you're getting a huge benefit out of that strength-wise, but I know that, you know, we are getting tougher. You know, we tell our kids all the time on, you know, this 10 sets is rough. I said, but our opponent, who we got to beat at the end of the year, they're only doing 5 sets today. So we're whipping their butt today, tomorrow, and every other day. You know, we sell our kids on competing and hard work. And I think at the end of the day, that's our core values. That is what we want, is to be a hardworking team that gets after it every single day. You know, there ain't no such thing as a free day. We ain't throwing no ball out. I mean, we are working for a common cause, and we're trying to utilize every minute we can to win a ball game.
Coach, this journey for you at Pearl High School as the head coach obviously started 10 years ago. And I'm sure along the way it's been a process. You've talked about things you've learned along the way. The last 2 years, you guys have been able to get to the big game. And looking back on 17, where you won it, you know, what was the key to get you guys over the top? What's the key thing you'd point to that gave you guys the winning edge here and helped you become state champions?
Number one is really good players, you know, and I know there's a lot of places that have really good players, so that's not enough. But number two, I would go back to alignment. Our system is set up for success. You know, our school district and our city and our alignment of our whole deal is to be successful. You know, they're going to give every opportunity we can for us to be. If you know, if there's something we need that can tremendously help our program, our school district, you know, will do everything in their power to get it for us. You know, we've got one of the best coaching staffs, you know, in the state of Mississippi. I would put them up there next to anybody's, you know, and that's because the school district, you know, allows us to go out and hire some of the best coaches that there are to have, you know. So on top of having great players, you know, I mean, we had a senior group that started, the majority of them started for 3 years. So we did have good players. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, man, our alignment of the whole organization has been great, you know, and having great coaches, great assistant coaches that come up with a plan every single day to get the most out of our kids, you know, and then coach our kids in such a manner, you know, that they know they're loved, that they know that we got their back and they're going to have our back on Friday night. You've got a chance to succeed, man. If you got pretty good players, pretty good coaches, and everybody's in the same boat, rowing the same way, you're going to be hard to beat. You know, I mean, there are a lot of teams out there that will beat themselves with having a bad culture or not doing the things they need to do to win, like turning the ball over, you know, being poor in special teams. One of the first things I'll pull up and look at on Saturday when I get the game fill of the opponent is the opponent PAT defense. I want to see how they rush the point after touchdown. You know, I mean, if they do not rush very hard, I take that back to my football team and I say, look at this. This is an opportunity to stop a team from scoring a point, and they didn't do anything. They just stood there. They were 50%. I was like, man, we've got these guys. You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to go after it. We're going to treat that 1 point like it's the 1 point that wins the ball game, and we're going to have a plan to block it. We're not going to block a lot of them, but by George, our objective is, you know, on PAT defense is, did we go hard? Did we set the block point at the right spot? If we did that, we're happy and we're successful, you know. And if we see a team that's not doing that, man, we go back to our team and we're like, guys, these guys don't work on this. You know what I'm saying? We got these. So in a kid's mind, right off the bat, they're thinking, well, we're going to do a better job than them. We're fixing to go beat them. Well, if they think that, we have a better chance of winning the ball game. So, you know, we're a lot of little things like that that, you know, we're going to do that, you know, try to give our kids the mindset that, you know, we're going to be better than the other team. And I think the fact that, you know, we were able to have a great coaching staff with great kids, you know, and come up with what we think is a plan to win, you know, was a huge benefit in, you know, being able to go out there and win this game, because the team we beat, super talented, super well coached. I mean, they were as good as we were. You know, we just happened to make one more play than they did and, you know, was blessed.
Coach, you brought up alignment quite a bit. Brian and I have talked about alignment on this podcast several times, Brian Kite. In your situation, when you started at Pearl, was that something that, you know, was just part of it that made the job attractive to you and said, hey, these guys are aligned? Or is it something that you had to work to, that you had to work to get all those stakeholders on board and working in the same direction? Because I've seen those situations. I know coaches out there who'll talk about they got to overcome their administration. And it's, you know, when you think of those situations, and I think you bring it to the forefront here, if you don't have that alignment, you probably don't have a chance to do it. You're going to have to overcome too much to get there.
No doubt about it. I mean, if it's out of alignment, it's going to be tough. You know, I mean, I've heard people say, I'm going to win in spite of the administration. You know, you're really not. I mean, you might get lucky. You know, you might have a great group. Something might go your way. But at the end of the day, if it's not aligned right, it's not going to be right. You know, in our place, even when I came 10 years ago, for the most part, you know, it was aligned pretty good. There have been things that we have obviously worked on, you know, and we have, you know, like our track kids. The fact that they run track every day, you know, we have no problem with that. There's not going to be a word said. We want them to go compete. We want them to go win a state championship. We want them to, you know, it's springtime. I mean, that's what we want our kids to go participate in as much stuff as they can participate in, because that's, you know, it's high school. That's what you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. You know. But at the same time, we have been able to, you know, get our track kids to come back 2 days a week, 40 minutes at the end of the day on, you know, say Tuesdays and Thursdays, get a 30-minute workout in. You know, well, that's been big to us. The 30-minute workout may not be a huge difference in winning and losing, but that mindset that, you know, I've got to pay a price all the time. You know, and even if I want to be the very best, you know, track star that I can be, I still need to buy in and know that, you know, me lifting weights is a part of me, you know, becoming a better athlete. You know what I'm saying? So there have been things that we have been able to make better. There's no doubt about it. But for the most part, Pearl's been a place that, you know, when they do something, they want to do it right. and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to just be great at one thing. I mean, we want to be great at fine arts. We're going to have great programs in everything that we do, and that's what we're about, you know, is being the best we can be and giving ourselves, you know, the equipment and the things to be able to be successful in football as well as in baseball, theater, dance. I mean, we're trying to win it all the time, and that don't always happen, but getting a place aligned, getting a city to buy in, you know, you got to win. You know, I mean, they're not going to buy anything until you win. You know, when you win, obviously they'll start, you know, buying in, and you can do more good in the community, you know, when you won some games. But, you know, this place has been really good.
Coach, what tip would you have for that guy out there, maybe who's currently feeling like he doesn't have that alignment, that, you know, maybe he's not working in step with administration? What should that coach do to help, you know, with that alignment?
Two things. Number one, you know, is look at yourself. Because, like, for me, for the first 3 or 4 years, I wanted to say, you know, we can't win a state championship because we don't have our kids in the off-season program. You know, we can't win an off. I wanted to come up with reasons why we couldn't, mm-hmm. So it started with me. I had to change the way I think, you know, and I think I got into reading books. I'm not a great reader, but I have gotten into doing things that I feel like give me a chance to be more successful. And, you know, like, there was a book, Good to Great, you know, mm-hmm. One of the first books I read by Jim Collins, yep. That, you know, really was instrumental. And the Energy Bus. I mean, there's a bunch of them, but, you know, were things that made me look at myself. You know, quit making excuses and do the very best with what you've got. Use what you have to your advantage. You know what I'm saying? Go in and meet with the principal. You know, can we do this? Can we, you know, can we hire 2 more coaches? Can we move football to this period? Can we, you know, go in and work with them and understand that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, nor was a football program. You know, we got a lot of stuff that we need, but we didn't have all that stuff 10 years ago, you know, and we didn't get it, you know, year one, year two, year. It's a work in progress, trying to get a little bit as you go. But I think number one is, you know, look at yourself and see what you can do to make the principal's job better, make the superintendent's job better, put the best football team you can out there. You know, if you start making excuses as a coach, you know, that goes right straight to those kids, you know, and that's something that I decided that we weren't going to do as a football program, and it helped. You have a role in, you know, getting the place aligned. Second thing would be if, you know, if the views or the alignment is so out of whack that, you know, you can't honestly change it, you can't change the thought process, the goals, you know, like our mission statement with our football team is going to be very similar to our mission statement as a school district. You know, and if you can't get the place, you know, to somewhat get aligned, you know, I'd say find another job, because, you know, there are a lot of jobs in the state of Mississippi and in the United States of America. You know, go find a place that, you know, wants to be aligned and wants to be successful and is fighting for the same cause, because, you know, there are a lot of good school districts out there that, you know, want that.
Coach, thank you for sharing that advice with us today and sharing a little bit about the things that are important in your program. I know certainly coaches can learn from those things. Best of luck to you guys as you work here through the 2018 season. But before we go, how can other coaches out there get a hold of you if they want to learn a little bit more about what you guys do?
Man, we've gotten into Twitter, obviously. That's some really good stuff. I've enjoyed that. But my Twitter handle is jperry_pearl. My email is jperry@pearl.k12.ms.us, and we'll do anything in the world we can do to help anybody out there. And I want to tell you, you know, I mean, what you're doing with this is awesome. I mean, I've gotten into, if I'm going 30 minutes to cover a basketball game, I'm going to plug my phone into the radio, I'm going to turn up a podcast, and I promise you, the other night covering a basketball game, I learned a couple things on the way over. I learned a couple things on the way back, you know. I mean, being a climber and being willing to try to learn something, and guys like you are helping us with things like this.
One of my favorite listeners and favorite guests on the show, Rick Jones from Greenwood High School in Arkansas, calls it Automobile University. So I know he'll hear this one because he listens to every single podcast.
I met Rick Jones, and I love him. I don't know if you know this, but we're both Harding graduates, so
okay.
You know, I have met him, and I have cultured up a little bit of a relationship with him. I want to get over there and see more of what they do, because I think he's absolutely phenomenal,
yes,
you know, as
is.
A football coach and as a human being, and I really enjoyed. One of the best things I took from his, I listened to his with you, which was a while back, but, you know, he talked about the coaching coaches, you know, interview, and I watched that, and that was, you know, was absolutely awesome. One of the best hour and 20 minutes, you know, that I've spent in a long time, you know. So I know what you're doing, and having these coaches on are helping guys like me.
Coach, I appreciate you being on the show. It was great to get to know a little bit about you. I look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Thank you much, man.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.